要
要、
yeah.
嗯
要
With the remaining 10 minutes we have, we will talk about traffic.
Okay, we're starting this podcast 50 minutes late, but there won't be any sense of rushedness.
No, there won't.
No, there won't.
Today, we are here to talk about the origins of Epic MPC Man.
Oh, wow.
Interesting. Yeah. How interesting.
How interesting. Yeah.
I'd love to know about that.
The series that is most dear to my heart.
I think you could say that, eh?
I think we could say that.
It's probably our most kind of treasured IP.
Yes, I think so. I think it's
I would say that.
Yeah, it feels like it defines Viva the most.
It shows the most kind of journey of, because how long are we doing it now? I don't know the answer to that, but
of like five or six years?
Yeah.
Probably?
I think longer than that.
If you compare a day of shooting Epic MPC Man from day one to now, I think that's the biggest, most, biggest, cut this bit out.
No, we're not going to. We're not going to. Are you going to say the biggest?
Every time I've been saying,
cool podcast.
Are you going to say like the biggest change?
The biggest word I was looking for is evolution.
Yeah,
evolution.
There you go. Thank you. That's why we're going to keep it in because we're on
fire. Evolution. You got the word. May 31st, 2016. So in May,
oh, wow. 8 years.
In May, we will hit 8 years.
Fucking hell.
That's so cool. The first question a lot of people will be interested in is how did the idea of Epic MPC Man come about?
I think I had the seed of the idea. Yeah. I had the seed of the idea that I jotted down on a Viva La Dirt League kind of ideas doc. And from telling the story a few times, I think Adam was the one that saw the idea and really rolled with it. Oh, holy shit. So I think my idea was an NPC who knows he's in a video game or a self-aware NPC who knows he's in a video game.
And I'm not sure how long it was before I saw it that you wrote it.
Yeah.
But I just found it. So we have many, many Google Docs.
Oh my God.
Listener, just so you know, we have a lot of Google Docs that we use as our idea dumping grounds for the various series.
We have structure to it now.
We do have structure to it. Even then, we had a little bit of structure.
Maybe we had a little bit. There's some structure there.
It may not be good structure, but there is structure.
And there is tidying to be done.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
But I was just one day early in the Viva life, just delving into the documents, just being like, what's going on? And I saw one little document, and there was a couple of other ideas on there as well, but the top one was what Alan just said, an NPC that knows he's in a video game. And like, it seems so fucking obvious now, right?
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God. And literally within an hour or two, I just like went, just because I am such a massive World of Warcraft nerd, I just went bam and just threw out God knows how many ideas, which became a lot of the foundation for season one and two.
Yeah,
the first like 12 episodes.
On that note, like it feels so obvious now, and that's our whole thing is like PUBG logic. This whole logic thing about what it's like to be inside a video game feels so obvious now. In retrospect, was that quite a novel idea?
Well, there had been other things inside a video game, like Red vs. Blue, and other people had, like, even Smosh had done a lot of like. I wasn't really. Smosh is not inside a video game.
It's, they do it's like sketches of like
about
video games. But the that's a really interesting point. Actually, I had thought about like maybe.
I don't think anyone had done it like drilling into the logic of video games prior to that.
I can't really compare Viva to anything like Epic MPC.
I can't either. I'm trying to just step outside my own bubble and go. Was that original? I think it was.
I remember some College Humor. Early College Humor sketches that like touched on the similar like themes.
Yeah.
And but never had, we had dedicated characters and world building and they were just kind of touching on the logic of the, like what it looks like to a peasant when your house gets ransacked by the adventurer. I remember that one being, I think that came out.
Okay. Well, the thing I was about to say is the thing that sets this is apart is this is the first time you go like, the concept of from the NPC's point of view, but you just mentioned that was from the
I think that came out before
but it's not like they were doing a dedicated series on it. That was just one episode.
It was just one episode.
The next question is, and why the name Epic NPC Man? And I think this kind of alludes to the whole theme of it being from this shitty little character.
Yeah.
Well, it's also alludes to an episode that we never made.
Yeah.
So
the first episode.
The first episode. So the episode that currently is the first episode, which is Skip, was actually meant to be the second episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we shot an episode which was the whole thesis of the show was that this little NPC, which became Greg the Garlic Farmer, is Greg the Garlic Farmer, is so small and
insignificant,
but we're going to base a whole fucking show around him. So yeah, he's the epic NPC, like, man.
And so it's the irony. Yeah. It's the epic NPC, man. And this the whole title sequence we had, which was like the
epic NPC.
Yeah. It was taking the piss out of the fact this NPC was just supposed to be just the background character that never got any integral to like so many narratives.
Irony is when that's the main character of your show, and he's supposed to be a background character after X amount of episodes.
Yeah.
Like, you're just going to make him the main character.
I distinctly remember starting to run into a Greg problem like 3 or 4 seasons in, where we wanted to do all these other episodes, but Greg
couldn't
really be part of it, but we still felt he had to be part of it. So he was just kind of in the background watching things play out.
Yeah.
And then we were just like, fuck, we can't, that's boring.
We can't do this anymore.
We're just write Greg into whatever we want.
We had the moment where, like you were saying, he would always have to be in the background kind of witnessing it, because that was the thing.
What's up with that?
And then we were like, you know what? There's a point where we're just going to go, he doesn't have to be in every episode.
Yeah.
And that was quite liberating.
That's quite liberating.
Either he doesn't have to be in every episode, or if we want him in an episode, fuck it, we'll put him in the episode.
Yeah.
Now just a quick message from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Rowan, what would you do if you had an hour extra every day?
Man, an hour? I would just chill, play video games, sleep in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that sounds a lot like you. And if you're listening out there, listener, what would you do if you had infinite time? Maybe you don't actually even know. That's where therapy comes in. Therapy isn't just for people sorting out single problems, trauma, or life events. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, like how to set boundaries, and helps prioritize your time and brain power. It really empowers you to be the best version of yourself.
It's like your personal compass, helping you navigate through what truly matters to you. So whether it's more time with loved ones, pursuing a passion, or simply finding peace within yourself, therapy can guide you there.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and you'll be matched with a licensed therapist. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/VLDL today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/VLDL.
And now, back to the podcast. I remember one of the key defining moments of like, oh, he's supposed to be this background character and we've fucked with this story so much, was when, I can't remember the skit, we shot it in Mount Wellington and it's the moment before the end game. And you're like this bond that you've created
over the course of the entire game.
Oh, that's the one where it's you, me and Ben.
Yeah,
and we're all like, wait, I thought I was your best friend.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's like, this little like background town NPC is like the last NPC.
Yeah,
before the end game.
Greg travels now. Greg goes places. Was that before unlocking another stage of the game, or was that like the end of
that?
That
was meant to be like that unlock moment before you head to the end game,
to the final area or whatever. Yeah. That's right.
I just want to quickly rewind and say that so that very first episode, which we shot but never got released, was literally this Greg, the epic NPC man, standing at his house, and adventurers would start running towards him and he'd put his finger up and then they'd run past.
Yeah, that's right.
And then another adventurer would come by and he'd about to start saying some dialogue, but then they'd walk past.
Yeah.
And then nothing would happen for a bit.
Just
waiting.
And
then he'd look
down
and then, epic NPC. and that was it. And we shot it and we edited it. And it was really boring.
Surprisingly. How is that boring?
And then we ended
like
it up.
The premise, like, I still do like the general idea, but you're right. It's one of those cases of this is a sketch about boring things and naturally becomes boring because
of it. That right there is a lesson we've learned over the years.
Yeah.
I might come back to that. But for this, I think we edited and we saw the episode Skip, which was going to be episode 2. And we realized that Skip kind of effectively
still encapsulates
what that episode was going to be. Yeah. Sort of like, the skip, you're irrelevant. I'm moving on with my life.
Yeah.
Was kind of effectively that anyway.
For sure.
But that,
and also way more compelling.
Yeah.
There's actual conflict.
That's funny that journey over the years we've had when like you're trying to show something that's like comically boring.
Yeah.
Or comically takes a long time or that, and you realize, we've realized this over years of doing edits and giving notes, is that that's actually a bit boring to watch. There are times over the years we go, oh, yeah, it's just, I see what we're doing here. That, like, he's waiting and he's getting bored.
Yeah.
But that's boring.
I feel there's going to be like parts of episodes, but as soon as you base an entire episode around the boring thing, is when it's like, oh, no, the entirety of the sketch is just dull.
It's a fine line, right? Because we did that episode quite recently with Ben, Britt, and Rowan mining.
Yeah.
And we obviously have a conversation at the beginning, but then we have a full minute.
Yeah.
No, we have 10 hours.
Oh, we actually have 10 hours. That's right.
No, but
in the actual episode, a full minute of you guys.
Yep.
And a single shot.
Yeah.
Mining.
I love that episode.
And a lot of other people, all the fans love it too. Yeah. Hence we did the fucking 10-hour version.
What's
the fine line between that and something that's genuinely boring?
I think in my mind that complements the theme of the episode, which is about grinding.
Yeah.
And then it just pushes itself to the nth degree where it's like, they're not going to keep going.
Yeah.
They're still going. I don't know. There's something about the return on, to start with, it's funny, and you go, oh, I see what they're doing. Oh, they're pushing it a little bit. Oh my God, they're really going for it. Holy shit. And then it gets funnier and funnier.
And then the annotations come in.
And then the annotations come in, and it keeps going, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about that.
There's
I think it's
outro screen in that. Yeah. It just keeps going.
I love it. My next question is, what was the process of creating the key characters? Because at the start we would have been figuring it all out.
Even season one didn't have Baradun; it was just Greg and Baelin.
Pretty much, they're the key NPCs, and then it would have been
Baradun came in. I think the decision was that you guys both had a main character in season one, and I was like, oh, I'm just adventurers currently. And
yeah,
so, oh, let's give you a.
Do you know what's weird? There's a moment there where quite easily, you could have been Baelin.
Straight up.
Yeah. Like straight up, there could have been a world where we were talking about it. I think I was quite keen to play it, but if you had been super keen and really pushed for it, like there's a world where Adam could have been Baelin this entire time.
Baelin's route would have been they're just Adam in the poster. We kind of nailed the characters straight off the bat. There's not many characters we started and then gave up on. You know, like there are a lot of the characters that started early still are going with the Epic NPC Man.
Yes, you're right. Although I feel like we tried to make in season one and two, we tried to make some of the players into characters. Like there was the barbarian character that you played and my mage character that I played.
Yeah, maybe player characters not so much.
The NPCs we nailed for sure.
I just still love you can still bundle these characters together. And it just works still. And I don't know, if the listeners know much about, writing or coming up with characters, it's insanely tricky. And to find and create a group of characters that actually work together so many years later as well, and you put them in short films, and we've got, we've got a comic coming out, and, I don't know, we've got a character archetype that fits into everything. So, any story can and will involve the NPCs from very early on. Epic
Amazing. I feel like we haven't answered your question.
What was your question, Ron?
What was the process of creating the characters? Yeah.
So, the first few, it felt very natural because we basically looked at the video games that we knew and loved, like World of Warcraft and Diablo and Witcher and all those kind of ones, and went, what's the obvious choices? And we wanted it to be a small starting town in a game like Skyrim or World of Warcraft.
And we knew we wanted the protagonist to be dull.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we're actually working from the idea backwards. So we're going, what's the joke we're trying to tell? What characters does that joke need?
Yeah.
And Greg was the obvious one.
He was. Greg. And you're just going, okay, it's a shopkeeper who has a limited amount of quests in a small town.
Yeah.
So he's probably a farmer or a peasant. Or let's make him a garlic farmer. Let's give him some garlic strings.
Which that garlic idea was just inspired by the costume that we found, right?
Yeah, once we kind of had the idea for the characters, I think we've talked about this before on the podcast, but making anything in the fantasy realm for a small, low subscriber.
Zero budget.
Low subscriber numbers, YouTube channel, zero budget basically is a nightmare.
Yeah.
But luckily, I had a personal contact through to a LARPing community. And a guy named Patrick Komuski, who ran that LARPing community, was lovely enough to just come to my house where I have a garage full of amazing costumes and let's have a play. And yeah, we just kind of went along and just start, like, we just made Balin out of little bits and pieces, and that looks good. What does it more need? A hat.
We hadn't even necessarily decided that Balin was a fisherman. No. We were like, Balin's just, the point of Balin's character was he represents the most underdeveloped, like, yes, basic. Yeah,
at least Greg has quests and a shop and lines.
Yeah.
And so we're like, Balin could be, he could just be a villager, he could be a this. I don't know, why don't we make him a fisherman?
Yeah.
And we're kind of looking at costumes and like, that'll work. And his line can be, I don't know, what's the most generic, boring line we can think of?
Yeah. Morning, I say fishing.
Watch out for monsters out there.
That was very nearly it as well.
And then we stumbled on morning, no stay for fishing, ain't it? Mm-hmm. And that stuck, and that's great.
Yeah. I like the duller the line, the more, and the more polite the line, and just kind of awkward conversation starter, it felt right.
And Balin was based on those characters in every video game where you can talk to them, and maybe in more recent games, maybe they'll say three things. But if you keep talking to them, it'll just be those three things over and over. But in older games, it was one thing, and that's all they fucking said. In fact, sometimes you couldn't even interact with them, which is
they're just
walking around saying
it. The Grimble and Nut thing about like the verisimilitude of it all, which is a word I didn't know existed until you wrote that.
The verisimilitude of it all.
And yeah, he just compliments that, right? Yeah. He's the background, and you're supposed to just, he's in your peripheral,
and he's just in the background.
You're not meant to pay attention to him.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, I guess there was Baradun, which we wanted someone to represent a character from the main quest, basically. Yeah. He has become since then become the main character of the video game.
I want to kind of, if best as possible, work through the order. So it was first Greg and Balin in season one.
Yeah.
Lots of players, but they're just players.
Then Baradun.
Then maybe the guard?
The guard and Baradun were both season two.
And guard represents kind of mindless guard, as before. Yeah. The guard still represents that.
Yeah, yeah.
Baradun.
High level, because guards always seem to be like, I'll fuck you up.
And then Baradun was exactly as I say, like, to represent, here's the main story coming in. And his very first skit was, the whole point of that first skit was, the main story is interrupting whatever's happening right now.
Yeah, and quite so selfishly. Much more interesting than what the fuck is going on in your small peasant town.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we never really sat down and came up, like, we never had a big discussion about characters and archetype. I don't remember sitting
there
down.
There were small discussions.
Yeah.
Like Baradun, for example, we were like, he's based on Deckard and Medivh and all of those kind of very big wizardly heroine-y characters.
From my memory, it just felt like a very natural evolution, though, rather than like it was every season. It was like a little discussion. What else can we add on, rather than how do we plan all of Epic NBC Man and all the characters?
And he was really just there to serve those ideas for those skits at that time. We hadn't thought that much further than that.
We're
like, the joke is this, and this. And that's all we got at the moment, and we'll see how that evolves.
Yeah.
Pretty much, eh?
Yeah. And then Bodger came a lot. I feel like Bodger's like season four or something.
I feel like Bodger was the first instance of going, okay, we're maybe starting to run out of kind of your basic game logic ideas. It's time to shift a little bit more into character.
Yeah.
And actually have some conflict in the town.
What was the first Bodger episode?
Well, actually, his first thing, I think, was, in fact,
It's
Funished, which is game logic. Like, you just bring all the ingredients, boom, it's done. It took 1 second to craft it.
Mm.
But then at the end, most of the length of that episode is actually just this back and forth.
The argument with
over the lake.
That's right, yelling across the lake. Where.
And that was kind of, that wasn't game logic.
Early days where I'm like, I feel like I was supposed to be part of this one. Where we were still struggling with the transition of Greg kind of should be in everything. We could do a little throwaway line here. And Bodger has like, it's not all about you, Greg.
Yeah.
And then ironically,
and
it does
all
kind
of that,
about
all
it
of that, out. Not only is it, instead of going Epic NPC Man, it says Epic Bodger the Blacksmith.
Yeah. That's right, Epic Bodger the Blacksmith.
And all of that is after the outro.
Yeah, all of it's after.
Significantly, more like the episode is weighted like for the outro.
It's like, 70% of the episode is that part.
I love that part.
But then Bodger, there was another one. I think the one that defines the best, not game logic, just characters just interacting, was as Bugger. My exclamation mark is bigger than yours. That's not really
it's
game
a dick
logic.
Measuring competition.
It's just a dick measuring competition and to establish these.
It's not based off, like, it's just not based off any logic, but it was kind of, it started building characters in our world a
little
bit.
It does. Yeah. That's what it starts to do. It starts to build the characters, but it's still, what I love about that episode, it's still building the characters off game logic. The logic being like, I have a better, it's the idea of a better quest.
Yeah.
Not necessarily bigger exclamation mark, but
I
know you're not saying better quest in the thing, but
well, I think I say I've got quests now.
Yeah.
That's right.
I'm a quest. Yeah. And then we've touched on that concept of like being upgraded to a quest giver. We had that with Fred.
With Regan.
That's right. With their trilogy. Yeah.
I love how these things just slowly developed.
Yeah.
When did Eugene into the fray? He,
still pretty early as well. I'd say season 4 or 5 as well.
What was Eugene's first episode?
The fire. He's like, you must save my family in the fire.
Oh, and the fire in the house.
And then that was the introduction of what is now the one of the most famous things in Epic MC Man, the cry.
Yeah. Which so many people ask me, it's like, how did you come up with the cry? We knew going into that filming day that we needed something repeatable because that was going to be the gag of that episode. And I had kind of like prepped a few that morning. And then when we got on set, I did like 6 cries for you and for you guys. And then and you guys were just like, oh, that one.
That one.
And I don't even think it was necessarily that's the best one. It was just like, do that one.
I was listening for that one.
Yeah.
Do that one.
And then...
What I remember about Eugene, he's one of the first examples of a character that starts to become a copy of a copy of a copy of itself.
Yeah.
Every filming session. And
a parody of itself.
A parody, and you become, if you compare Eugene from the first episode to what he is now, it's just this kind of exaggerated, like Homer Simpson, this exaggerated.
Yeah. Also, in episode 1, so these days the cry is, Adventurer, I need your aid. But then...
It was so much faster in episode one.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And that'll be just that kind of playback. It becomes this really distinct
the memory
sound
of
bite.
A memory.
And,
of
the
a memory.
And in episode one, he's like, he's shaking because he's so panicked about the fire.
But now he just has full blown.
He's just constantly like hunched over and shaking. Like, adventurer.
He needs to talk to somebody.
He needs to go to the town doctor.
Okay, this is kind of a broad question, but how would a typical skit day get planned? From idea to filming to editing and uploading. What's the process?
You mean in the early days or now?
Let's just talk about maybe now. I'm trying to, maybe a comparison of old days to now.
I mean, in the old days, it would literally just be the three of us would come together and go, what's some game logic that we could go to Howick with?
Yeah.
Howick being the place that stands in Hollywood.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember, I distinctly remember Google Docs with just 1 or 2 lines at the top of them.
And we'd come with a sheet of paper that had like 6 ideas on it.
Yeah, nothing was scripted.
And it used to be, you go, the equivalent of a script was just fleshing out the paragraph that kind of gives the 3 beats.
I remember there were distinct moments where we felt really bad. And I think it was part of the reason why we committed to scripting was... We would come huddle together, the three of us, and maybe with Ben as well, if he was on set that day, and we would try and expand the idea and figure it out while Tom, the camera guy, and maybe the soundie would just wait.
Yeah.
And they would just wait and look bored.
And sometimes, and I feel like a good 60% of the time, we'd get it real quick.
Yeah.
But then sometimes it would take an hour or two for one episode.
There's a certain nostalgia attributed to the whole improv and coming up with it on the day. But there is also a lot of negativity around it. I remember being quite stressed and being even more tired at the end of the day creating a sketch.
I feel a lot less absolutely mind-fucked these days at the end of an episode. Early days, first 5, 6, 7 seasons of MPC Man, I would go home the most exhausted I have ever felt in my life.
But there are that's a big part of it. But there's also we're carrying our own costumes with these big crate, these boxes. Everything
was on us
back in those days.
Yeah. But so early days we would come up with a bunch of ideas.
Yeah.
Go to set with them and then just talk about them and start improvising around them. And then once we've liking the improv would then start filming and that would be an idea and we'd go away and edit that. And as you say, basically everything was on us from writing, directing. We always had someone on camera, but then editing was on us, thumbnails, everything on us.
There was, again, just to slow down on that process, that then we finish the day, Tom would go get the data to me somehow on a big massive hard drive, and then I'd upload it to like the little NAS drive that was sitting on my fridge.
That's
which
right.
Was the whole brain of Viva La Dirt League.
Was just on your fridge and for a long time.
And then whoever was editing that particular, well, for Epic Episode Man, it was me. And then I'd spend the next week working on one episode, you know, editing one episode.
Mm.
Oh, man, it was... We did a lot back then.
We did a lot back then. And I have no idea how we did that whilst having full-time jobs. I don't know.
Psychosis?
Just no sleep. Yeah, I don't know. But we did it, and thank God we did.
These days it is brainstorming, scripting, going over those scripts to make sure they can be the best they can be.
Well, there's an episode coming out soon, which was fully improv.
Yeah.
Well, how did you find that?
So that was when I wrote specifically because of my nostalgia of the improv days.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's a magic that you lose in a script. And it's subtle, but there is something.
Yeah.
And so I wrote a script which is coming out soon in Epic NBC Man, which is called, I think it's called Hardcore Mode.
Mm.
And it's me and Ben. And all I did was write quite detailed description of just the key beats of the plot of that skit. And then we got there on the day, and it actually went really well.
Yeah.
And I'm actually really happy with the what I've seen so far in the edit. Favorite character, favorite skit?
Wow.
Oh, that's a fucking hard one. My favorite character that I play is Baradun in D&D. Like, I like playing in D&D. I actually don't really like playing Baradun in NPC Ben.
Really?
I feel like I struggle to find his place in skits.
Yeah.
Whereas I love him in D&D. He's a joy to play. Whereas I love playing Eugene in NPC Man.
Yeah.
He's a joy to play in skits.
Yeah, and he always gets the reaction too. Yeah. Eugene always steals the episode. Eugene always steals the episode.
There's actually an episode, the skill tree episode with you and Ben. And Eugene's in the first 5 seconds, he just goes, "Thank you, adventurers, for the fucking whatever it is," and he's off. And the amount of comments in the episode about Eugene.
Just about Eugene, he hijacks the episode.
He hijacks the fucking episode.
I just gotta say, Greg. The Greg's just it's a safe answer, but I love what he represents, and he feels like the heart of the show. And I love how he's growing, and I love how he's. I love this potential stories we can tell with him. And I've seen every emotion with Greg now, and I've been playing him so long. He's just got a special place in my heart. He genuinely does. It's really weird to be so attached to this character who is supposed to just be this background NPC. But now I can imagine.
I mean, you're so attached to him that now and again in comments, fans think your real name is Greg.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, well,
there's a reason why they would, because that is a bit of a thing we do.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I just want to quickly say of characters that you do. I know he's only been in 3 episodes, but I love Isaac as well.
Yeah, I like Isaac too. Yeah. I like especially his first episode, his first appearance was just like he is fun to play.
I love just Isaac dying on the log, and it's the out of sync from a different take scream.
the Wilhelm scream.
Did we actually use the Wilhelm scream?
I think
we might have.
I can't remember. I think we did.
Yeah.
I think we did.
But yeah, he's fun to play. He's another
My favorite skit that Greg was in from memory is the one called Broken.
Yeah.
And it's where you snap and then you put a steak knife.
Steak knife.
Because we forgot to bring the prop.
But we forgot to bring the prop. It could have been such a better knife. Oh, well. It kind of works.
And just the, now I'm going to ask you one more time.
That's like...
Have fun.
That's actually the origins of not just Crazy Greg, but Crazy Alan.
You're probably
right.
We
hadn't really done Crazy. I think that was the first Crazy Alan episode.
That might be the first Crazy Alan.
And it's Greg.
Yeah. I remember it felt very natural to play a Crazy. I don't know. I really liked playing Greg like that.
My favorite character to play has got to be Bodger. He's just fun. He's just
fun.
And... I think it took me a wee while to fully figure him out, but once I figured out exactly what he is, he's this character who kind of just doesn't give a fuck.
He doesn't give a fuck.
Especially what he represents. I don't care. Which is a little bit like me.
I wonder if you found some of Bodger through D&D, like that had lent a lot to your NPC version of D&D. Different versions of the characters. I feel like the Greg in D&D is a very different Greg.
I realize I possibly didn't answer your question. You just said, what's our favorite NPC, not NPC we play.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite NPC is actually the Muggers. I fucking love the Muggers.
Yeah, the Muggers
are good. They make me crack up every time.
Yeah. We have run out of ideas
for Muggers. Yeah.
So we even did a scrape in the bottom of the barrel.
I remember the fight, probably the last episode we'll ever do of the Muggers is scraping the bottom of the barrel, and it's very meta, and we've run out of ideas. And I think we've done another one since.
We've done like two or three
couple
since.
More since. I'm like,
and we've got
how are we still doing Muggers?
And we've got another one. We're filming another one next week.
Oh,
what
God.
Is, what is We're that filming two next week, I think.
Jesus two Mugger Christ. Sketches. Yeah. Jesus. Yeah, they're great. And in terms of favorite episode, I mean, Balance Rider isn't an episode, but I like Balance Rider a lot.
Favorite episode, yeah. I don't know. There's just so many.
There's so many. Well, it's hard to say favorite. Go one. Just add
one of the first times that a lot of NPCs interacted in one episode was the one where Ben is he collects Fred, he collects Bodger, he collects Eugene, and he collects Greg.
Oh, yeah.
And then he takes the four of them and makes them fight a boss.
Yeah, I remember that.
And that's the episode where Eugene whips out a hammer from behind his from his portal pocket and goes, "I'm going to fuck you up." It's just great because as we're all walking, the four NPCs are just kind of nattering to each other. And that was, I feel like, one of the first times that we'd had two NPCs talk, like Bodger and Greg, but we'd never had multiple NPCs talking outside of the game scripted dialogue to each other. And it just felt something yummy inside me. It was like, we're creating a world here.
And what's your favorite episode?
My favorite episode is, well, this is one of them, is The Bard. Us as Heroes and Hamish is the Bard, and there's the Cyclops. And I just,
fuck, it's good.
It was one of those ones that just everything we wanted to do kind of worked. Yeah, and we were trying new things about like the getting the Cyclops bigger, having a legit little fight scene with the Cyclops, and then Hamish's performance is anytime you put Hamish on set, he's so good.
Did we ever feel like ideas were drying up, and how do we cope with that?
I feel like we've gone in and out of that. Yeah. Like, I feel like we got to the end of season three, like, in the first 6 months, and we're like, oh, we're done. That's it.
We're out. Yeah, I think you're right. And that was when we were really, like, leaning on the game logic before we started going, we could tell our own stories in this world. I think we have had dry patches.
I do remember various writers' rooms where we were just kind of like, we're done. Really did feel like we were scraping ideas. Like, what about, like, an idea where, like, an NPC's, like, kind of, whoa, what's up with that?
What's up with that?
Oh, man, that's shit. Oh, man. I do remember there was a period there for one or two writers' rooms where the ideas just felt.
That's the irony of what we're doing. Like, we're filming more. We film NBC. There's NBC coming out every week at the moment. But I feel like we have more ideas now than we've ever had before.
Yeah. There's this endless list to try and get through now.
Kind of an endless list. And there's a lot of episodes coming up that I'm, like, really excited to
film. And it goes in those waves, eh? Where, like, we just have so many amazing episodes that we can't wait to get on screen. And then you're like, oh, there's a bit of a glow. Oh, now there's a whole lot more again. And, I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like there have been maybe two or three big ones. And as Ron says, there was like that early season, the early one where we were just like focusing so heavy on game logic and then we were wedded to Greg.
Yeah.
And we couldn't get away from Greg. And they're like, as soon as we got away from Greg, it opened up his whole magical new path.
Yeah.
Adam, you wanted to talk about the world building of Epic Embassy Man.
Yeah, so it's straight up, it really felt like in the early days we were just going, what's game logic? Point it to game logic. Like literally our behind the scenes joke was point at something and laugh at it.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, cheese heals you. Or arrow food ahead doesn't kill a god.
Was that our meme title? It was just like, how about that? Was that what kind of vibe? Yeah. Like,
what's up with that?
What's up with that?
What's up with that?
What's up with that? That's it.
And Yards and Games. What's
up with that?
And literally, that's all it was. It was just like, World of Warcraft, Skyrim be like. And then just, we never intended it, but slowly as we added Baradun and Bodger and Eugene, Fred, Frida, the Muggers, even simple as small characters as the Gravediggers, Willow and Balin's Rout, all of these other little characters started fleshing out this world.
Yeah.
And then we started doing D&D as well, and we had to really think about what this world was and actually expand it and think about maps and towns and place names and races and all this other stuff. And we've actually got now this world that is just as rich. If you're a mega fan and you start delving into all these little bits, pockets of the world that we have and listening to the dialogue in NPC or following NPC D&D, like this world is just as rich or is growing to be is just as rich
as
Skyrim.
I really
want to
build an Epic Embassy Man Bible of some description, like have a like really beautiful hardcover book that just goes through the entire world for us as well to get a real concise breakdown.
Because
there
is a lot of the fans won't know this obviously, but we have a Bible for NPC Man which has a lot of things that are official lore because it's turned up in an episode or it's turned up in D&D, and then there is like semi-official where it's based on something hard that has turned up in an episode.
Yeah.
And then there is a lot of stuff which is just kind of gives context to all of that, which is official in our mind until it needs to be retconned and changed be changed.
But we've got a great excuse because there's two layers to Epic and Museum. There's the base game, which is, you know, fantasy, Middle Earth, kind of parrot, making fun of Skyrim and World of Warcraft and all of that, and that's Azerim, right?
And it is a fantasy, a very swords and spells fantasy land.
And then on top of that, we've got the logic of the video game developers that make the game.
Before you get there, on top of that, we've got the logic of these characters who live in this world and their life outside of the fantasy milieu.
The main story.
Then on top of that, we've got the video game, the devs, the various expansions that came out. Like, and anything that needs to be retconned, you have an excuse for it because it's the game devs being like, "Oh, that shouldn't have been in the game," and then just removing it. We've got a really cool a reason to remove characters or inject new characters or new storyline or new and if things glitch out or don't make any sense, there was an oversight by that. We've actually got this like little safety blanket of the game devs doing their best to try and create this world. And I'd love for the Bible to kind of include like both of those things because we've fleshed out both of those. We've got like a chronological list of like 12 expansions.
I think it's like 12 expansions, yeah. Well,
there was a point in the early days where like the lore of the world was just being built by random bits of improv. For example, the name Schmargenrog,
which
is a massive part of the world now,
which
is a bit of improv of a random word.
Yeah.
But like at some stage, you guys in particular really wanted to go, look, we're starting to have to kind of scramble with these bits of random improv we're coming up with. We kind of need to consolidate it a bit. And so you guys had brainstorms about how do we, and I joined it towards the end, but about how to consolidate the overriding world.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah. So Alan and I were doing it together, but I would like take the lead where I'd go and it was a while ago now I started this, so it wasn't as daunting as it would if I was to do it now, but go into every piece of media that we'd had, everything that we'd said or done, or we'd mentioned a dragon of, you know, and put a name there, Doldoroth. Okay. So there's an epic dragon, Doldoroth. Okay. And there's the place called Schmargenrog, where apparently the dragons are from. I'll have to figure out what that is. But then we've also mentioned orcs, and we've mentioned that they're from Schmargenrog. I'm going to have to fucking figure
that out.
It's kind of
cool, like,
these
constraints made us think of really creative ways to implement them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, they really did kind of guide the world building.
It did, which was
into
fun
something
and
very
interesting.
Unique. Fun, interesting, and unique. And Skycraft really does now feel like our own thing rather than just a parody of other things.
For sure. Like, for example, like we'd seen orcs, we had seen trolls as well.
Yeah.
We'd mentioned kobolds, we'd mentioned a couple of other evil things, but in our world building, we'd been like, well, we have the Alliance, and in World of Warcraft, it's called the Horde.
Yeah.
You don't want to wholesale rip that. So in our documents for the longest time, our version of the Horde was called the Pact.
Yeah.
And we'd never said that in NPC, man. And it was an example of one of those things that was canon until we decided to retcon it because we'd never said it in NPC, man. And then one day we needed to write into a script. It was
and kobolds of the Pact.
Yeah. And so that became law. The Pact became law because we needed to say it in an episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hilarious how big Schmargenrog has become. I think that was just one take. You probably said a different Schmargenrog variant.
I would have said Balgenrog.
Which is also law.
Flaugenschmog. It could have been Flaugenschmog.
It could have been Flaugenschmog.
The Mount Flaugenschmog. Like, and now that is our kind of end game area.
And what's hilarious about that is going like, Schmedem, Schmellen, Schmelly, like Schmargenrog. It's just is our kind of our go to for like
for
just
parody
piss take parody.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
what stuck.
Yeah.
to me, it's like the word Smaug, which is from The Hobbit.
It's definitely what I was thinking. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, really? It's not. That's why I kind of was like, oh, interesting. What's coming out is the parody that we always use. Schmaug is in there, and then Rog is.
Did you really thought that was where my brain was going? Like,
you give
Rog because you're an intelligent dude,
bro.
You're an intelligent dude.
I was just going. Vowels and consonants. I want to talk about the journey we came with sentience, with our, it became quite an important part of our logic and lore is discovering the journey of how a sentient an NPC and NPC is becomes quite important.
Well, yeah. It creates conflict,
yeah,
which is important in any skit, obviously, anything we do. And I mean, Greg and Balin being the first two prime examples, Greg was obviously very sentient. That was the impetus for the whole show.
Yeah, sentient, but also very passive.
Still bound by the rules.
Bound by the rules. He was kind of like, he didn't know why he had to follow these rules.
But yeah.
The rules bring him a certain sense of comfort and he sticks to them.
Yeah.
He, I suppose in the early days, he represented that one NPC who was noticing that things are a bit weird.
He noticed things is going on, but it's more of a, weird, rather than I'm questioning my whole reality.
And Balin represented completely no sentience at all. I'm just like a cog in the machine.
And Baradun represents full sentience, full willingness to and ability to break the rules of the game whenever he wants and just bends the world to his will.
And then we've put all the other NPCs. So like it's like Baradun at the top, full sentience. Balin / Woodcutter.
He's a funny one though, isn't he, Balin?
Yeah. Balin's changed.
I'd say let's say Woodcutter at the bottom.
Yeah.
And then all the other NPCs in between. And we let those NPCs fluctuate a little bit depending on what the skit needs.
Yeah.
Like for example, Psychotic Greg is obviously a wild fluctuation.
Yeah.
Whereas then sometimes Greg is very unsentient depending on what the skit needs him to be.
Yeah.
But Balin, you could argue that his original purpose was to represent no sentience at all, just completely cog of the machine. Mm. But then based on some of the things we've seen, little sparks behind the eyes and obviously Balin's route and things, you could argue that Balin's like very sentient.
Top tier.
Very kind of up there.
Yeah.
Knows he's in a video game, knows
I wouldn't know
meaning.
If he knows he's in a video game.
Don't know.
So I think I think Baradun and the Gravediggers are the only three that know they're in a video game.
Yeah.
In my mind, I think.
It's a bit unknown at this stage. You could be right.
Whereas like Bodger, I don't think Bodger is high up there. Bodger's higher than Greg in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yes.
But he does. I don't think in my mind he knows he's in a video game. I just think he knows. The way I always describe it is these NPCs, the way they interact with the video game elements of their life is just like gravity. That's something that they know to be a thing in their world.
And they're not going
to
question it.
Things pop up. They have an exclamation mark above their head. It's just like gravity. It's like leaves. Yeah. It's like the sky is
blue. It's always been there.
It's always been there. It's just what their life is. That if an adventurer comes up to them and says, skip, they stop what they're saying. Their normal dialogue. It's like you work at Starbucks. You have to say, hi, sir, what would you like? That's part of your life. And Bodger knows that's part of his life and rebels against it or uses it to his advantage, whereas not all NPCs do that, if you know what I mean. Like, that's what makes him that makes him sentient but not know he's in a video game.
I'm not saying that he does. I'm saying that he's a little bit unknown. Depending on what the
you're
big story...
But Balin's unknown.
Balin, that's who I was talking about.
And then I was saying, like, Bodger, for example, is a higher sentience.
It kind of depends for me where the big end game story, where we craft that towards.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That's changed over the years. Yeah. I don't think that my story would... work with all the characters. So I wrote a feature film, Epic and BCM feature film, like 5 years ago now or something.
More than that, I think.
Yeah,
I think you wrote it in like the first couple of seasons.
You're probably right.
Or started at least.
And a lot of the characters would not make those decisions anymore.
Yeah. Whereas Baradun actively knows it's like a human knowing you're in a simulation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Baradun actively knows he's in a video game.
Yeah.
Doesn't necessarily want to get out because he realizes his reality is benefits him in being the main character of said video game. And he just plays it to his advantage to live a happy life.
And just a little tease following on from the idea of a feature film in Epic and BCM, one day I want to make an Epic and BCM feature film. I don't know when it'll be. I don't know if it'll be the cast we've got now. But it'll be a feature film set in the Epic and BC Man world.
What would you be satisfied if it ended up being an animation?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Over the course of Epic and BC Man specifically, you've always wanted to be quite protective of that's quite a valuable, you don't want to fuck with it too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always had a slightly different mentality with it, whereas like, I want to fuck with it. I want to like just
push it
and just see where the see where the cookies crumble.
Like Stray is like, a good example, right?
Kind of, yeah. And that's always been an ongoing slight conflict between us. It's like, you're like, oh, I don't want to fuck with it too much. Like,
I don't want to fuck with it too much because I want to keep it pure and I want to keep it, I want to keep the world solid and like a place that we can continue to tell stories. And if something comes along and breaks, I'm just so aware of universes that, and this is obviously like, that become too convoluted or just the inconsistent or like, and we're making so much content for Epic NBC Man and with these new characters and new, like it becomes, I'm putting a lot of pressure on each and every episode.
I think you're thinking 40 chess, you're thinking way ahead. Oh, I don't want it to become too fucking convoluted and weird and fuck with the rules.
I'm thinking of like a feature film where like some of the logic of the feature is undone by the sketch we made four years ago. And that, I have a very busy brain and I'm overthinking things a lot. And
I overthink things.
Weird. Yeah. Huh. And I feel like it's created conflict a couple of times in the writer's room where I'm like, I really don't like this.
Yeah. And then that pisses me off because I'm like, I want to have the freedom to fucking do this. I think I want to have fun with this.
Yeah, the big example for me, which again I'm at peace with now, but it was the server maintenance one.
Yeah.
That was a big one for me where he just openly in front of Greg rips a hole in the world but then we maybe based on my feedback we had the whole like forget thing.
Oh, yeah,
kind of resets it. Yeah. So Greg forgets. But for me the Greg discovering that he was in a video game and that you could just pull apart code like that was that really concerned me.
That doesn't bother me because I can find some character way to explain that. Like that maybe that's something Greg, if we didn't flash him, maybe that's something that Greg's seen before and it's just like you're seeing a workman work on a underground pipe that you've never seen before, and you're just like, "Ooh, interesting! But I've never seen that before."
My point is not to say anyone's right or wrong. My point is to kind of just get there's always been a bit of a difference there, and kind of in two different ways of looking at it.
But not just in the world breaking, but the world building as well. Like Rowan and I are very happy to be like, "Yeah, there's a fucking island called Straya, and it's a prison colony of Australia." Australia.
Sorry about that, Straya hard.
I love that kind of stuff because I mean it's a comedy world and it's taking the piss out of these other fantasy worlds.
The irony is like the further we go down this path, the more I think I'm easing up.
And we have a place called Schmargenrog where the orcs and dragons are from. Like it's great, and you can just use some fantasy world building to explain that shit. Yep. Like it's great.
How do you think we've evolved? What are some key milestones? I'm going to throw that one out there. Is there any bites on that?
any bites on that?
Key milestones we've kind of already talked about a little bit, but like Greg not being in episodes. The Leroy Jenkins one was a big one for me.
Do you know what I remember? Do you know what I remember a key milestone for you as an actor? You as Alan was going, fuck it. He doesn't always have to just play Greg. He can play other characters.
That was the second big milestone.
Because there would be times where we're like, oh, we're off. There's no skits for Greg. This whole block.
Alan's not acting.
And then my first character was like some kind of barbarian
random.
I don't know if it was a player or an NPC. I'm like, come on, dude. And that was my first non-Greg role, which felt very weird.
And then one of your other non-Greg, one of the other first non-Gregs was the magic trio. you, me, and Ben doing magic.
They're the wizards? Was that Blinding?
Blinding. It was the second Blinding Heal. Because I was playing my healer again.
Yeah.
So I was doing Blinding Heal and you guys were doing Dazzling Ray of Rainbow Spots.
That's right.
That's such a funny one.
Yeah, no, that's actually a big one. There was a time there where I was starting to get a little bit gutted on Epic Enemy Seeming because I was like, I feel like Greg's important, but I'm being written out of
the two of us have all of these other interesting I've got Baradun and Eugene.
I remember when we were coming up with what Epic Enemy Seeming is season one. And like you were like, I'll play Greg. And I remember kind of going, being jealous and going, oh, he gets to play the main role. And then
I make that call? I wonder how, I have no idea how this
I think it was because it was your idea.
Greg.
And we were, and also you're the best at playing the straight man. Yeah. So we were like,
I remember kind of going, he's going to play the main role for this quite big thing. And then very quickly going, I'm at peace with this.
Because we get to be all the weird, quirky ones.
Yeah, and we're all the background things.
And then when we got to that stage, I'd go, oh, I'm so glad I'm not.
But then like, what's his name? Isaac is an example of us going, we need to give Alan another quirky NPC.
Yeah, yeah.
And Isaac was the first other NPC you played.
Yeah.
You also
do I have another one?
Grimble and Nut.
Grimble and Nut. And then I feel like that's my trifecta. But that's okay now because Greg's coming back in a big way. I mean, he's in a lot of episodes now.
Yeah. I want to do more Grimblin' Nut.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when we were coming up with Epic NPC Man, that was the one that we all know and love. But there were at least another four different variations.
Interestingly, Alan and I had a very clear idea of what we wanted, and it was exactly that. Yeah. And Alan and I aren't very musical.
No.
And I don't know why, but both of us, A, were on the same wavelength, and both wanted exactly that.
And there were a lot of variations before that we were like, I don't know how to give this note, but it's not quite right. Try extend the outro.
Yeah, yeah. And then as soon as you did what we both wanted, we both went,
that one.
We've got it. We did like fucking 20 or more, right?
I think I've only got a record of the ones that we're going to play in a sec of about maybe four, maybe five that I ended up kind of polishing up with this thing and then sending to you guys.
Right, but you might have done some more variations.
Here are some of them.
Well, how about those?
Well, wouldn't it be weird if one of those were... I just can't even imagine it because literally from the idea of this... Wow, explosions! Epic NPC, man!
Yeah.
Like, I had that in my head, and until it came out of your mouth, I wasn't going to be happy.
Yeah. Thank God you can sing, man. Thank God. What would it have been otherwise?
Epic NPC, man.
Epic
we don't do it anymore. It doesn't actually have this thing anymore.
No sting.
Which a lot of people are really sad about.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yeah, there's a certain, like, the bigger the Viva's, like, the more, I don't know, like, official the world and the series and the everything became, the more professional.
Do you know what it was? Do you know what it was? Because it's really important for those listening. It's important that when we finish a skit, we can get the audience to the end screen things to click as soon as possible. And it just went too long. They'll stop watching.
Yeah.
So we made it to this that quick little light, and the skit's over, and now that's the thing, and now we're moving on to the clickable bits.
Because the very first is explosion, so half a second of noise, then epic NPC.
No, the explosion and epic happens at the same moment.
Oh, do they? So okay, well, epic NPC, man.
Yeah.
A little bit of music.
We started trimming away at a little bit, but it was still slightly
just
too
a smidge
long.
Too long.
Yeah. At its shortest, it was like, boom, epic NPC, man. And then we're talking and it's going under the talking.
And it wasn't really capturing the heart of the show anymore. It wasn't always about Greg, or it wasn't always about like the slowly NPC.
It was weird to see an outro with you when you weren't even in the episode.
Trevor's out, though.
We talked about Epic NPC Man and the original days.
Yeah.
The days where we had to carry costume long ways.
Yeah.
Yo, we had to... Woo! These early characters like Greg the Garlic Farmer and Balin and stuff. We had the intro of the Baradoon and things like that and shit.
Double down.
Quickly.
Epic NPC Man, every flea man. Epic duper chip coming hey man. Yo, yeah, the shit show. How about hey man? Shit man, mobile.
Oh, fuck yeah, boy.
Shit.
Yeah, yeah, man. All right, my man. It's my man right there.
Bacon of NPC Man. We need to go down into the tavern and film some things.
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's go. I believe you. I don't know.
We've got to go.
Let's go.